bid you welcome again and express appreciation for your being here. Yeah, we say it so often, but we say it sincerely. It's just good. It's just good to get together. Appreciate your attendance very, very much. There is an outline in the bulletin this morning if you'd like to follow along with the lesson. My brethren kind of look around and share if you see someone that didn't receive one. You're very welcome to, you know, hand it down or go get one in the foyer and then come back in. Don't just keep going. So, the title of the lesson, almost from the song that Dennis just led for us, title of the lesson, Death, Burial, Resurrection. Just from the text, in just a couple of the verses again, Paul said, moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel. Gospel is good news. There's something significant, something important, or something blessed, is something happy. It's just good news. He says, which I preach to you, in which you also receive, and in which you stand, and by which you're saved. Oh, there's something precious, something valuable, something to be treasured in that gospel message. Then he says, if you hold fast, oh, stay in it, cling to it, hug it, embrace it, don't let it go. Hold fast that word which I preach to you. For I delivered unto you first of all, here's the gospel, that which I received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. The three facts of the gospel give us our lesson today: the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. So let's look at the first one. This event that we're looking at was according to the scriptures. Paul said it twice in the text. First of all, that Christ died for our sins. He died for our sin. Mine? Take it personally. He died for my sins. Jesus knew that that would take place. During his ministry, he gave that information to the apostles. In Mark chapter 8 and chapter 9 and chapter 10, and this is what it says, three times, nearing the crucifixion, Jesus told his disciples, come aside, and I'm going to tell you what's about to happen. In Mark chapter 8, verse 31, and he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and kill, and after 3 days, rise again. Again, in Mark chapter 9, verse 31. He taught his disciples and said to them, the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of men. They will kill him. And after he's killed, he'll rise again the third day. Then the third time, Jesus says it to the disciples. They're approaching Jerusalem. In Mark 10, verse 32, then he took the 12 aside again and began to tell them the things that would happen. Behold, we're going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and to the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him to the Gentiles. And they will mock him and scourge him, spit upon him, and kill him. And the third day he will rise again. Wow. Jesus, knowing that, you're going to Jerusalem? Why? Because Christ dies for our sins. For us. It happened exactly as he said. He was crucified on the cross for our sins. His death was an acceptable sacrifice to God for the forgiveness of our sins. No one else could accomplish that. And that's why he was the acceptable sacrifice. I can't die for my sins and have my salvation accomplished through my death. Doesn't work. In Matthew 1, verse 21, Jesus is introduced. And she, meaning Mary, the verse says, will bring forth a son. You call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Thank you. In Mark chapter 10, verse 45, Jesus said, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. For you and for me. See, Jesus knew what was about to take place. There would be a death, a burial, and a resurrection. So in the verse, it says that Christ died. He died. See, while on the cross, this is how the scripture describes it. In Luke chapter 23, verse 45, the sun was darkened. The veil of the temple was torn in two. And when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And having said that, he breathed his last. He died. I put in your notes the word death just by itself means separation. Anytime something dies, something separates. When Jesus died on the cross, his spirit returned to God who gave it, and his body remained on the cross. A death took place. He breathed his last. In Ecclesiastes 12, verse 7, it says, then the dust, or the body, will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit return to God who gave it. Anytime there's a death, there's a separation of something. In this case, with Jesus, his body was separated from his spirit. His spirit returned to God, and his body remained here for burial. And that's in the text. He died for our sins and was buried. It's in Luke chapter 23. Verse 50. Now behold, there was a man named Joseph, a council member, a good and just man. He was from Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who himself was also waiting for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate. He asked for the body of Jesus. Then he took it down. Remember, when a death takes place, something separates. Jesus said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And he breathed his last. The body remains. And now Joseph of Arimathea goes to Pilate, begs for the body of Jesus, takes it down. He wraps it in linen, laid it in a tomb that was hewn out of rock, where no man had ever been laid before. The Gospel of John gives us some added information. It records that Nicodemus also went with Joseph of Arimathea to take down the body of Jesus from the cross and bury it in the tomb. So now we have the two events. We have the death of Jesus, the crucifixion, and the body of Jesus that remained for burial. Many times, the sadness we experience when someone dies is because of the separation of life. We have someone dies, we have a father, maybe, or a father separated from a mother, or a father from children, or grandchildren, or just death separates us from family and friends. And that's why we cry. Because we know that there was not going to be any more reunion this side of heaven. When David and Bathsheba's baby died, David wept, and then he said, "He shall not return to me, but I shall go to him." Right? When something or someone dies and separation takes place, the spirit returns to God and the body remains here for burial. And that's what happened with Jesus. "Into thy hands I commend my spirit." Joseph takes the body and buries it. Then we have that third part of the story. Ah, good news. "And that he arose the third day according to the scriptures." And Luke records it again in Luke chapter 24. "Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb bringing their spices which they prepared. Oh, but they found the tomb, found the stone rolled away from the tomb. And they went in and did not find the body of Jesus." It's supposed to be there. "And as it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then, as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, the two men said to them, 'Why do you seek the living among the dead? He's not here,' the verse continues, 'but he is risen.'" And then an interesting word follows that. "The two men said, 'Remember? Remember.'" And then the two men continue their conversation. "Remember how he spoke to you while he was still in Galilee? Remember what he said before his death and his burial and this resurrection? He said, 'The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again.' And they remembered his words." And now Jesus continues his ministry for 40 days on earth. After 40 days, he is ascended back to the Father. 10 days after that is the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. And Jesus had told his disciples in Luke chapter 24, "I want you to remain in Jerusalem until you receive power from on high, and I want repentance and remission of sins preached in my name beginning at Jerusalem. But you tarry in the city until you receive power from on high." And then Jesus is ascended, and they go into the city. Put in your notes, I wanted to just note two events that relate to the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. First one's the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper. When Jesus, or right before his crucifixion, Jesus meets with his disciples in the upper room to observe the Passover. The Passover was held once a year in remembrance from Israel's exodus from Egypt. So the disciples had made preparation for Jesus and them in that upper room to observe that meal. Here's how Matthew records it. Matthew 26, verse 26. "And as they were eating," meaning that Passover meal, "Jesus took bread, blessed," or gave thanks, "and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' Then he took the cup, gave thanks, gave it to them, saying, 'Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins.'" Now, wait a minute, that sounds familiar. My body, my blood, forgiveness of sins. Didn't we just read about that? Wasn't that in our text? "I preached the gospel to you that Christ died for our sins, was buried, and resurrected the third day." And Jesus foretells that when he institutes his Lord's Supper. And then it says, "And I say to you, I'll not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until the day I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." So So when Jesus institutes this Lord's Supper, it's in anticipation of the cross. Body, blood, for many, for the remission of sins. Oh, that's right. Jesus is going to accomplish something in his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Paul gives a little more explanation about this event that we observed just a moment ago, this Lord's Supper, this communion, this breaking of bread. Paul said to the church that's in Corinth, the 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23, I received from the Lord that which also I delivered unto you. So it's a heavenly message. That the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. So there's an event that's tied to the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus that Jesus wants us to do in remembrance of that event. He said, do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he took of the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Two times, Paul gives the explanation for that institution that Jesus gave on the night that he took the Passover feast before his crucifixion. Paul said, and Jesus said, this is what I want done in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he come. This is the weekly event in which we celebrate the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Now, to bring the point home, we're never told in Scripture to remember his resurrection only once a year. I said everything I said today just to make that point. We are never told to remember his resurrection only once a year. Never in Scripture. The resurrection by itself is an incomplete story. We remember the complete story. Death, burial, resurrection. Every first day of the week when partaking of the Lord's Supper or the communion. In Acts 20, verse 7, now upon the first day of the week when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message. The disciples, the church, met on the first day of every week in a worship assembly, a single day, to remember the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus in observing the Lord's Supper. Every first day of the week, not once a year. The early church knew nothing about a holy week or a once a year holy day. The early church knew nothing about a holy 3 days, a holy Friday, resurrection day. What about the burial day? Why don't they have a meeting on Saturday week or holy weekend? That's scripture. Do this in remembrance of me, not something else. The second event is baptism for the remission of sins. Paul, when he preached on the day of Pentecost, 50 days after the Passover or the resurrection of Jesus, 50 days. Remember, Jesus told them in his closing words before he ascended back to the Father, stay in Jerusalem. Do you receive power from on high? And I want you, it's in Luke 24, beginning from verse 40. Stay in Jerusalem. Do you receive power from on high? And I want repentance, remission of sins, preached in my name, beginning at Jerusalem. In Acts chapter 2, there's devout Jews from every nation observing the day of Pentecost. Peter stands up with the 11. They receive power from on high. And he stands up and preaches. And Jesus said, I want the gospel preached in Jerusalem. They're there. In Acts 2, verse 36, Peter reaches a point in his sermon where he says, this Jesus whom you crucified, God has made both Lord and Christ. Amen. Crucifixion? Did you just say crucified, Peter? Yeah. This Jesus whom you crucified, death, burial, and resurrection. God has made both Lord and Christ. When they heard that, they were cut to the heart. They were pricked. They saw themselves guilty as charged. They were convinced that they'd murdered the Messiah. The audience was convinced they crucified the Christ. So they cried out, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter replied or answered them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. I know, wait a minute. This Jesus whom you crucified, now you want to know what to do about it. Repent and be baptized. Nobody left out, every one of you, by the authority of heaven, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. We just read that. Christ died for our sins. It's in your text. And then he continues. With many other words, he testified, exhorted them, saying, save yourselves, salvation. Save yourselves from this crooked or untoward generation. Those that gladly received his word were baptized. There were added unto them about 3,000 souls. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching, the breaking of bread and prayers. And in verse 47, the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Peter brings up crucifixion. What are you going to do about it, people? I'm going to be baptized for remission of sins. I'm going to repent and be baptized. I'll close with this verse. It's in your notes. In Romans chapter 6, beginning of verse 3, Paul says, Don't you know that as many of you as have been baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? Well, there's something about baptism that relates to the death, burial, and resurrection. Just as when we observe the Lord's Supper, it relates to the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. That's what we do in remembrance. And what should our response be too? Don't you know that as many of us were baptized into Christ, we're baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. When does new life begin in Christ? When we're baptized. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. There's something about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus that relates to baptism. And so when the people of the Pentecost cried out, being convinced that Jesus died for their sins and he's Lord in Christ, what are we going to do about that? Repent and be baptized. Every one of you. It takes you back to the crucifixion, to the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. That's the lesson. We're going to sing a song of invitation, a song of encouragement. The song of exorcism gives you time to reflect upon your relationship to God and to Jesus. In other words, you need to do what they did. You hear, and obviously they heard Peter preach. They were cut to the heart, they believed. They cried out, well, what shall we do? I believe that Christ died for our sins. You could repent, turn your life around, turn it toward God. Be baptized for remission of sins. And that baptism is a likeness of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. So that's what we ask you to do at the close of this lesson, at the close of every lesson. You're subject to that invitation. You want to accept it, just simply come and have a seat up front and let your request be made known. Just simply say, I want to be baptized for remission of sins. I want to do that right now. We have an altar. Everything's ready. We have a pool of water behind that curtain. You can be baptized right now, being convinced that Jesus Christ is God's Son and willing to turn your life around. If you haven't responded already, will you do it today? Let's stand together in the song of invitation. And let's say, if that's your desire, that's your resolve, just simply let it be known while we're singing this song by coming and having a seat beside me.
I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have allured my sight. I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free,
hasten glad and free.
Jesus.
Appreciate your desire to be with us this day for an assembly to give God worship and praise, and just good to get together. So let's bow in prayer, and then following prayer we'll be dismissed.